Father, we open up your word this morning, asking for that help again that we need each day. We open your word, the Spirit of God would move in our hearts. We pray in your name, amen. Well, this past week was another Hallmark week, Valentine's Day. Although it's a great day of focusing on love, and people think about Valentine's Day. Hopefully it's not the only day they love. But that it's a reminder, I guess, to share that love that we have. And love is shared in different ways. Love is an important thing in life. We all need love. Where would we be without love, right? And I got some love showed to me this week in the form of chocolate chip cookies with walnuts and coconut. Yeah. And they were good. And they were delicious. And you stay out of my office because there's a few left. And I'll defend them. But it's a great time to think about love. And we think about love this morning because there's no greater love shown to us than what we celebrate this morning at communion. One of the greatest acts for the Christian of love and obedience is before us this morning as we come to this place, the Lord's table. Because we celebrate the greatest act of love that was ever shown. If you look in your Bibles at Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, we realize how important it is for us to do this because of what Paul writes to us there in Romans 5, 8. He says, but God proves, some translations say demonstrates, God proves his own love for us. As if God had to prove it, but he did. He proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners. In other words, we weren't thinking about God. We didn't care about God. We were interested in our sin and living our lives the way we wanted and doing our own thing. But it was that time and in that place that God sent his son while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. He took our place. Tremendous act of love shown to us by what he did by giving himself. Leaving the splendors and the glories of heaven. Leaving all that was there. In that perfect unity that existed with the Trinity from creation, never had a beginning, it always existed because God is eternal, therefore always existent. And that union, that fellowship, whatever was going on, was just perfect. And then man messed it up. And so there needed to be a remedy. And God in his love demonstrated that by giving Christ. One of the greatest privileges, one of the greatest thrills, and one of the best acts of worship for a Christian is before us this morning in these elements of communion. Coming together to partake of the Lord's Supper, to communion, is really our duty. It's been commanded to us. Jesus gave us that direct command. Do this and remember me. It's also our privilege and it's our high right as a disciple of Christ, to come to the Lord's table and to be a part of what he has for us to remember and for us to think about. He knows that we're humans. He knows that we're people, and we forget. If we don't have a list to remind us where our list is, we forget. And so we need to make sure that he reminds us. And all throughout Scripture, we have these things. Peter constantly says, I'm reminding you. And we need to be reminded. So it's one of the most important acts of discipleship for a believer. It keeps us in line as where we should live. It keeps us acting and it keeps us reacting the way we should. And it reminds us, this is what it costs. You know, we have things in our country like Memorial Day and Veterans Day and things like that that remind us of the cost. Communion reminds us of the cost, reminds us of what it took, reminds us of the greatest thing that ever took place in giving us new life and the opportunity for it. And if you go back to Luke chapter 22, where our scripture reading was, we saw here that act of the Lord's Supper being initiated, being demonstrated for us. He came together. We know by familiarity, hopefully it doesn't get too familiar with us, but that we keep it fresh, that Jesus set this table. He set the stage. He set the things that we should be doing and how we should be reminding him. Reminding us of him. And it was at this setting that he drops that bomb about somebody going to betray him. And it wasn't long that Judas would do his dirty work. It wasn't long Peter would do his dastardly deeds by denying Jesus. And we all say, well, we would never have denied Jesus. You don't know. We would hope we wouldn't. We would hope we're strong enough. We would hope that we have deep enough roots to where it wouldn't matter if we were standing face to face with the arresters of Jesus and they're saying, hey, weren't you there? Oh, not me, no. No, I was at McDonald's getting a Happy Meal for the kids. You know, I wasn't there. And you know, it slips out before we even know it. Peter denied him. We need to be cautious. And so I want to draw your attention to some thoughts about communion that I hope will help us to continually keep it fresh, to help us better appreciate what we're doing here this morning. And the most precious thing for the Christian should be their relationship with Christ after salvation. Salvation is the most important thing we can ever do in life, and then not do what a lot of people do, and they stop at that because it doesn't end there. Then the process begins, and we begin to grow. And we need to grow that relationship with the Lord. It's great to be saved, and we need to get to that point, but we need to move on. And we need to get filled with the Spirit. We need to be growing in our relationship. There's nothing more important than growing daily in that relationship. And that's something that we do by things that we accomplish. We do things like trust. We have to put our trust in. We have to abandon ourselves to Him. We have to deny ourselves and take up our cross. That's the put off part of our lives. Then we put on, Jesus said, follow me. That's what we replace. Everything we've taken off, everything we've done away with, we follow Him and we become His. We obey Him. There's no other way to prove our love. We can sing about love. We can talk about love. We can say how much we love Jesus, but if we're not obeying His commands, it's just talk. It's just air. It's just wind, wasted energy. We have the Word of God. How much are we in His Word? How much do we spend time in it? Put down the entertainment. Pick up His Word. Get in it. You know, and then there's prayer. How else are you going to communicate with somebody? How are you going to build a relationship with somebody if you don't talk to them? And that's what we do with Him. We talk. We pray. We talk with Him. And that's the relationship. We share what we found. We share what He's done with us and in our lives and to us and for us. We share that with people we come in contact with. And we live it out. It has to be seen in the proof of our living. We have to be bearing fruit. That's how we have a growing relationship. Nothing should interfere with that in our lives. Nothing should get in the way of that. We need to guard that, guard that time of growth. Anything that comes between you and your Bible that keeps you from being in it, or it comes between you and a relationship with Christ, needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be put in its proper place so that those things have priority in our lives. I like what Amy Carmichael said. She said, sometimes when we read the words, maybe you've read a biography or an autobiography of a great Christian in their life and all the things that went on. You've read that and you've seen those that were more than conquerors and even those in the scriptures that we read about. We feel almost despondent, like, I don't even begin to measure up. She says, I feel that I shall never be that. But they won through step by step, by little bits of wills, little denials of self, little inward victories by faithfulness in very little things. It was all those little things along the way, along the path, along the journey in their Christian growth. They became what they were. No one sees these little hidden steps so often. We see the end result. We see the accomplishment. We hear about them. We read a book or we read about them in Scripture. But even so, those small little steps were taken in every one of their lives. There was no, all of a sudden triumph. Boom, it exploded that morning when they woke up and they were all of a sudden spiritually mature. And they were walking on air, and everybody was like, wow, look at them. Now it happened along the journey, step by step. And that's the work of the moment, being in touch with Him. That's what spiritual growth is, learning through those little steps, learning through those little bits, those little victories. So if you're trying to find the big victories, they only come through the little ones, step by step by step by step through life. And that's what we need to be focusing on. Communion is that reminder that we have to do that. It's a reminder of what gave us the opportunity to have this relationship with the Lord, and it motivates us to keep the relationship alive and to keep that relationship growing. Growth is a choice. You choose to grow or you choose to stay and go backwards. That's a choice. We have to choose what we do and who we are going to be. And that's what we have been given, as God gave us a free will to choose. And so the most important relationship, of course, in life to work on is your relationship with the Lord, because that helps, and it trickles it down into every relationship we have after Him. It affects the way we relate to, if you're married, a spouse, if it's not, in your family, and those that you live by, those that you work with, those that you associate with. It's all a part. But if the relationship with Christ isn't what it should be, then there's a problem. And if the relationship with Christ is growing, but it's not trickling down and coming down, then there's also a problem. Something needs to be looked at. Why isn't it affecting my life? Why isn't it affecting my relationships? Why isn't it affecting the people around me through my life and what He's doing? So it has to be an evidence of what's going on. It helps us to make every other relationship the way it should be. Communion between God and man has been established in a new and in a deeper way all through Christ. It's the only way it could have happened. He is the great go-between that links God and His creation. He created us. He had mercy on us. Even after man sinned, the earth became so utterly wicked that He wanted to just destroy it all. But because of the righteousness He saw in Noah, He spared him and his family and continued to carry on the human race. The cross is the bridge that has brought peace between us and God. In our men's Bible study last week was about the bridge illustration, how we're on one side, sin separated us from God, God's over here, and there's this chasm that can't be crossed. You know, we've all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God's eternal life, but we're here and God's here. We can't get across. That's why people that say, well, I've lived a good life, well, that's wonderful, but you still can't get across. There's no way to get across. You can't jump the chasm that's there. It's too wide and it's too deep. And so you have a problem. But the solution is what we have before us. He went to the cross, and the cross bridges that gap. We find the fact that God demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners, and the cross was put in place so that we could walk over to Him and have a relationship with Him, because He wanted to come to us more than we wanted to come to Him. But because He gave us free will, He didn't interfere with us. He only salted our oats so that we'd want to drink and we'd want more and we want to find out more. But it all was dependent on our relationship with Him. And so there's no hostility once we become one with Him. That hostility is gone. That wrath of God for the Christian isn't there anymore. And in Romans 8:1, Paul reminds us of that. He says, therefore, no condemnation. God doesn't condemn us anymore. And a lot of people are still under that assumption. Well, God's condemning me. He's running me down. No, He's not. There's no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. He doesn't condemn us. We condemn ourselves a lot. We let people condemn us. We allow the past to condemn us. But we need to come to the truth and realization there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That wrath has been taken. That wrath has been paid for. That's why when people say, well, we'll probably be here for the tribulation. Why would we be here for the tribulation when that's God's wrath poured out and that wrath has been subverted in our lives because of Christ? We'll be taken out of the way. We'll not be here when that wrath comes. And so we realize that this is the heart of the gospel message that is so vital for the and to the salvation of souls, that we need to come to that point. And just like the truth that changed you needs now to be seen as we share it with others so that we can pass on that life-giving gospel so that they can have that change in their lives as well. We need to be faithful to that. God's been faithful to us. And so people so easily share things. I mean, people explode Facebook all the time. And it's like, good night. What do you got time to live, eat, and do something else when they're constantly just flooding Facebook with stuff, Instagram and all this other stuff, Twitter. You know, they're flooding those things, posting constantly, but they can't share Christ. They don't have time. They're not being fed. Or something's going on. Shouldn't we be sharing the best things in life that we have, Christ? If you do it through Facebook, do it. They'll probably shut you down, but that's okay. Do it anyways. Share Christ wherever you can, whenever you can, with whomever you can. Yeah, many people we know that we live by, that we work with, need to know that there's a judgment to flee and a God who's made a way of escape, because eternity's coming. And I'll tell you what, eternity's a long time. There's no break. There's no let up. There's no pause. There's no, okay, let's take a time out and get some relief from this. None of that's going to happen. It's going to be ongoing. Our world, though, is desensitized to this fact of Christ coming. He's desensitized to these kinds of things. And it's happened through so many different ways, through films, through movies that, you know, paint the pictures of catastrophic things, catastrophes happening, you know, movies called Armageddon, you know, not Christian ones. You know, so it's like, oh, well, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. We've seen it at the theater. We've seen it on TV. We've rented the DVD or whatever. We've seen those things and are desensitized to the reality of what's going to come and what's going to happen. And so they allow that threat. They allow that, which should motivate them to say, maybe I ought to do something about my life. I mean, you think about when 9/11 hit so many years ago. Remember some of the comments you would hear? It was like I was watching a movie, and it wasn't real until we realized it was real. You know, we're desensitized to that kind of stuff. So through his life, death, burial, resurrection, and glorification, the new covenant has now been established that was brought into being with the death of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, Paul writes this as probably the first account of the Lord's Supper, even before the Gospels were written. 1 Corinthians was, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance as me, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" That's our responsibility, to be proclaiming that until he comes. Our communion is with God through Christ, and we have that communion with him. And the Christian life is life in him. It's walking in him. So we have communion really in two ways. We have that fellowship, that relationship with him, that interpersonal relationship, and then we come around the table of communion as well in remembrance of him. We're now in Christ. And Paul uses that phrase often. You're in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, reminding us who we are. As we are in him. We are who he says we are, not what we think we are or what somebody else says we are. It's what he says we are. And so this indicates the heart and the essence of our experience and that of communion in our lives. And we need to keep that thought moving, and we need to keep that thought growing in our lives. And so Leonard Ravenhill had a newsletter he used to put out, Last Day's newsletter, and he was telling in there about a group of tourists that were visiting a picturesque little village and walked up to an old man sitting there beside a fence. And the visitor, in a rather patronizing way, one of the tourists asks, "Were any great men born in this village?" And everybody wants to know, who's great that came out of this village? The guy responded, "Nope, only babies were born here." You know, frothy question brought a profound answer. Anybody great born here? Nope, only babies. Well, there's no instant heroes. There's no instant maturity, whether in this world or in the kingdom of God. Growth takes time. And as Paul writes in Timothy, he points it out to him, even spiritual leadership is earned through time. So the gospel message proclaimed by Paul and the other apostles is summed up really in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. Kind of puts it in a nutshell. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So the one who didn't know any sin took our sin so that we could become God's righteousness. And that's what we are to be in the world. And that's what needs to be seen. So we respond to the call. We enter into Christ. This involves a new union. And we're reminded of that union this morning. His death, burial, and resurrection. We identify with him. We're one with him. We're there. And that's the place that we take. We need to be sharing in that life, living in that life, in that new era that he's given to us, and that relationship that we can have. We need to live a life that's ready. We need to be rapture ready, because a lot of things in prophecy still aren't fulfilled, but nothing has to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. Everything that needs to come will come, but the rapture can take place at any time. He can come and get us when he decides, and when he's given that permission to come and get us. And so as the body of Christ, we're joined together. We're one in him. Individually, we take communion. We have that communion with him, but we also have that communion with one another. It's that fellowship that should exist in the church, in the body of Christ, that needs to be seen. And we do that in remembering him through communion and through this time of spending around his table. That proclamation of our Lord's death until he returns. One day won't be necessary, will it? When we're in heaven, there'll be no need for us to do that. It'll be done. The proclamations are over, and now we reap the results of what we have. So we have a lot to look forward to as Christians. We have a lot to look forward to, but we got a lot of work while we're waiting. We have a lot of things to do while we anticipate. In the meantime, we gather around his table. We reflect, we remember, we hope. It encourages us to grow. It encourages us to move forward. And we need to be doing that. And so this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to take time to renew that relationship with him. We're going to take that time to renew that covenant with him, renew where we stand with him, and allow that to influence us and to take place in our hearts and in our lives. And so let's reflect on that, and let's make sure that we keep that ever before us.